Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Atlanta, and her preaching is entitled, Born of a Woman.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. As proof that you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then also an heir through God. It would be so much easier, and I'm sure Mary would agree, if Jesus had arrived into the world the way that babies do in fairy tales or in Harry Potter novels, dropped down the chimney by a stork, or left bundled with a note on the doorstep. But our readings today remind us that this is not the way it happened. As we just heard in the second reading from Galatians, he was born of a woman. And if we were to continue on to the gospel, we would hear at the end, he was conceived in the womb. And so on this solemnity of Mary, explicitly as mother, perhaps it would be good to ponder a bit what that entails. It means that from day one, after the Annunciation, Mary's body began to undergo profound changes. Sore breast, extreme tiredness, morning nausea, aversion to foods she usually loved, losing weight before slowly regaining it. Clothes too tight at first across the shoulders and then across the belly. Beyond physical discomfort, it means she would have endured social discomfort as well. Having to try to explain to disbelieving parents what's going on, breaking the news to Joseph, dealing with the neighbors' gossip and glares, and now add the political complication of the census, having to travel from home in the season just before birth so that her own mother and sisters were not nearby, forced to rely on the help of persons she barely knew in the messy, intimate, painful process of labor and birth. Why does Scripture so explicitly point out that Jesus was conceived in the womb and born of a woman and urge us to ponder these realities? Why are these claims significant? Because they tell us something important, not just about Mary, but about Christ, that he came into the world truly as one of us. That there is no stage of human existence that Jesus does not participate in and redeem from within. There's nothing about being human that is not part of his story as well. Beginning with being smaller than the size of a mustard seed, as cells divided and multiplied, moving from marula to blastocyst to embryo. Appearing as a tiny tadpole the size of a grain of rice with a curled backbone arching from the earliest brain to the tail with tiny arm and leg nubs, only the slightest indentations of where ears and eyes would form. That by week 10 in utero, slowly growing the unique features of a human face, eyes that one day would look with kindness, ears that one day would hear the cry of the poor, slowly growing the fingers that would touch the sick and the outcast, but still less than 2 inches in length. Until by week 12, forming vocal cords that one day would chant the Shema and preach on the mountainsides and command the seas to be still. By week 18, hearing Mary sing lullabies, beginning to absorb her praying the Psalms of Israel. By week 21, having an active digestive system. By week 22, the beginning of a sense of taste for all those meals that he would one day share with his friends. by week 26 beginning to blink so that one day he could clear the dust of the itinerant's road from his eyes. And then in those weeks leading up to his birth, gaining the fat that he would need to survive cold winter nights and days when food was scarce. By that point, he was no longer able to move around freely and began to experience the sense of struggle against constraints that would mark his whole long life. But before he grew too large for the space beneath his mother's heart, it meant he turned downward to ready for the excruciating journey to greater life, just as he would again another 30-some-odd years later. During this octave of Christmas, but most especially on this day devoted to the reality of mothering, we pause to ponder how Jesus was in complete solidarity, not only with our earthly life and death, but even our gestation and birth. There is nothing of our experience that's foreign to him, and hence nothing of our experience that's not made sacred by him. And with his mother, Mary, who experienced this reality in her very own body, and then, Scripture tells us, ceaselessly turned it over and over again in her heart and mind, trying to make meaning of it, we can join in turning this mystery over and over again in our own hearts and minds. Realizing that there are other ways he could have come, but didn't. He chose to partake of our human experience from the very, very start.